afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Dave Allen is my co-host today, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, September 4th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Boy, I missed a couple of Wednesdays, so it's actually good to hear that.
Absolutely.
This fine hump day Wednesday. And of course, on this day, we also have Wendy Wilson joining us here in just a few short moments. But first, let's get to the pricing. And again, another great day for gold, a very hectic day. And here at Discount Gold and Silver, you have gold up $770 today, broke $1,550. We're at $1,555. $1,555 up $770. Silver up 35 cents, $19.68. It was just, what, a week ago that I was selling them for this price or less. Platinum up $28, up almost 3%, $991. And palladium continues to be strong, up 16 at $1,564. Now, I know there was pressure on the dollar, but, you know, it's really not much in my book, down 0.49. Still at 98.46. Crude oil was up huge, 2.41 at 56.35. And, you know, it's the same thing. Same thing. Oh, China. The trade agreement is coming, ladies and gentlemen. And, the markets were up strong today because of that. Let me get to those numbers here shortly. And yet one of the Fed chairs or one of the Fed presidents came out and said he's adjusting the GDP to below 2. The Dow was up 238 points, 26,356. NASDAQ was up 102 at 79.76. S&P was up 31 at 29.37. Now you had Hong Kong. Their stocks gained nearly 4% on the best day of the year, most likely because of, I guess they pulled that bill. The reason for all of these demonstrations, but we'll talk about that here in a little bit in the program. 10-year yield, 1.46. Futures for gold. Let's see if we're still in, what month are we in? Still in December contract? 1563. $1,563. So December contracts, you know, 1966. So very nice day in the precious metals. There's a lot of things to talk about that will impact these markets. And but first, you're going to just have to wait for the financial news as we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Dave.
Hi, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about some gene modification. I came across some new information on that.
J-E-A-N?
No, G-E-N-E.
Okay.
The DNA.
Okay. What makes it.
Yep, what makes Melanie Melody, you know. There's this whole new scientific area called modular genetics or molecule genetics. And it, you know, when this started, you think it started, you know, recently in the 21st century, but it started in 1850. Did you know that? Yeah.
Really?
It started with an Augustine friar by the name of Gregor Mendel. He was the first to trace the inheritance patterns of pea plants. And after inheritance patterns came research on genes and then the discovery of DNA. And then by the 1940s and 50s, we had the DNA profiles. The genetic code was established by science by 1953. And then all the gene expression science came about in the 1970s. So we are looking at the birth of this genetic engineering and also the breeding experiments you've been hearing about. Also your GMOs, your genetically modified organisms and plants, and a lot of gene editing there. So a lot of manipulation of gene species is evolving in the science area. Now, by 1983, the first genetic disease, Huntington's disease, was mapped out by science. And from there, science was supposedly able to discover the genes responsible for things like cancer and other diseases. And we can't forget that science has actually taken a lot of molecule genetics to a lot of the ethic boundaries, if you will. You know, you got the cloning and now the recently approved combining species that's happening, I think, in China. So secrets in this area of science is really, did you know, forbidden. Scientists need to share. They're supposed to share all their discoveries, and they have to share these on a world scale. They're agreeing to share all their discoveries that pertain to the genetic research. It's called the Bermuda Principle. So we are told that this research is necessary for science to learn how to prevent disease. So we're going to check this out and see where this is going. Here's a quote from the Bermuda Principle. It says, "To ensure that genome sequence information leads us rapidly as possible to advances in healthcare and research, this process is coordinated by the Human Genome Organization, also known as HUGO." So this information is placed on the HUGO website for all the scientists to be able to share all that great info. So you may be asking, well, was healthcare the original goal? Well, the genetics movement of the early 1900s did not have the intention to improve on human healthcare or the quality of human life. It was to select genetic qualities and through breeding create a better human race. So in 1910, the Eugenics Record Office was founded in Long Island, New York, and in their 1927 publication they stated, "The goal to eugenics is to improve the natural, physical, and mental and temperamental qualities of the human race." End of quote. So, you know, a lot of people think it was Hitler that was, you know, doing all that, but we were doing it before Hitler came along. Think about that.
That is amazing.
I know.
So long ago.
I know. 1927. So the scientists were trying to decide, you know, who was fit to breed, who wasn't. There was this genetic pattern of inheritance they wanted to establish, where families were going to fit a profile. So these standards required involuntary sterilization practices, and a lot of people think of Hitler at that point, but they were trying to change and manipulate and manage the human gene pool is what they were doing. So the scientists thought they could apply the same principles that they were using to genetically modify plants and animals to the human race as well. And the reason given to the public, of course, was to get rid of things like mental retardation, psychiatric illnesses, physical disabilities. They would all be eliminated, they claimed. So they were declaring that their whole program was to eradicate disease and poverty and even criminality, which I'm looking at that going, uh-huh. But anyway.
They'd have to do it to themselves.
Right. Well, now the genetic disorders, they also call them inborn errors of metabolism, which I think is interesting to describe it that way. But they say the genetic disorders in humans normally, they say, is a result of something that instigates a change or a disruption. Get this. Here's the key. Here's the big old key to genetic modification. It's called enzymes. So when there's a disruption in enzymes, things get changed genetically. So what has the power basically to change enzymes? Well, according to the National Library of Medicine, there's a number of things that can cause a genetic change through enzymes, and that would be your diet. And that's where I've said, you know, you can go from a lousy diet to a healthy one, and in 6 days it changes your DNA. So diet changes enzymes. Toxic substances change enzymes. And get this, here's the big kaboom. Vaccines change your enzymes.
Huh. Well.
Okay. Yeah. So their report in the National Library of Medicine, in their report, they really didn't elaborate on the types of foods or the types of toxins. And some speculate that genetically modified foods may qualify as, you know, some research that was denied that it changes your enzymes. But in 2014, there was a report with the National Vaccine Information Center, and they said live strains, they're called vector vaccines, have the potential to cause gene mutations and cause health disorders. So there's six different types of GM vaccines in production already.
Wow.
So here, Here's a quote from their report. They say, the development of experimental genetically engineered live virus vaccines and virus vectored vaccines, especially those that are being fast-tracked, have the potential to cause unknown negative effects on human health and in the environment. There is a vacuum of knowledge about the potential of live attenuated and genetically engineered vaccine viruses to mutate and recombine with other viruses to create new viruses that cause disease or affect the integrity of the human genome, the human microbiome, that's your gut floras, and your healthy functioning of the immune system and your neurological system, end of quote. Now, the Journal of Toxicology and Environmental Health in November 2006 stated, genetically modified viruses and genetically engineered virus vector vaccines possess significant unpredictability and a number of inherent harmful potential hazards, such as horizontal transfer of genes is well established, new hybrid virus prodigies resulting from genetic recombining of GM vaccine viruses with naturally occurring relative viruses may possess totally unpredicted characteristics with regard to host preferences and disease-causing potentials. So they have no idea what they're going to expect when they put this in everybody and even in your pets. There's a PhD, a director of research. Her name's Dr. Vicky DeBold. She's also with Patient Safety Vaccine Information Center. She says this, we don't know what portion of the genetically modified DNA can be incorporated into the human genome. We don't know what portion could be inheritable to children. We also don't know what happens to the immune system when it's exposed to DNA that has been recombined with other genetically modified genes. What diseases may occur are unknown, and the use of foreign DNA in various forms has great potential to cause harm because it can turn DNA switches on or off. So you're talking about a big old immune system question mark and what it's going to cause. Well, let's get down to some really brass tacks here, because the research from the Mayo Clinic stated in September 2011 that vaccines like your measles vaccine have genetic underpinnings that can hack your genetic code. So these scientists know what course they are embarking on, and they're doing it anyway. In the 1977 International Review of Cytology, Volume 51, it stated that the foreign DNA in these treatments transforms your cells and can cause cell malignancy. This is why a lot of doctors often have said the vaccines are the cause of a lot of degenerative diseases, including cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And here's why. When the foreign DNA enters the human body or into your animal, your pet, it transcribes into the cells to create a different organism. This process can release what they call bacterial DNA, which promotes cancer-causing malignant DNA. This is not just the human sector, but it's also in veterinarian medicine with all the vaccines they give pets. They have flu shots for pets now. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah,
now,
I did.
Yeah, in 1975, science also discovered the virus causing cancer in animals had a special enzyme called reverse transcriptase, and these are viruses known as RNA viruses, which have been created to form a DNA strand in order to integrate into the host DNA and infect it. So modern medicine knows they're doing this. This is all in the literature. Now, Dr. Robert Simpson, he's with Rutgers University, he reported on some research on DNA in the vaccines, and he wrote that the RNA viruses, which do not cause the cancer, will form a DNA without needing the reverse transcriptase. This is important. He says, when this happens, modern medicine calls this a provirus. This provirus, these are cells that can sit dormant or for latent period, long periods of time, without producing any symptoms or disease. Dr. Simpson says that he gave some examples. Your common RNA viruses that really don't directly cause cancer but can form a provirus that will later give you diseases, he says, are your influenza vaccines, your measles vaccines, your mumps, and your polio vaccines. He says there was a giant German scientist called Zinchenko in 1967 who reported that the multiple sclerosis disease was provoked by the following vaccinations: smallpox, typhoid, tetanus, polio, and tuberculosis and diphtheria and rabies. It wasn't a disease until those vaccines were used. So the research was also published in the October 67 Journal of the British Medical Journal. So when humans are inoculated with disease, not against disease, they're being inoculated with disease. And what's really happening is modern medicine is seeding your body with RNA-forming proviruses, which after a period of time will reawaken and deliver another generation of chronically ill patients for medicine to try to heal. So the GM vaccines are given to children, adults, and pets. Your vapor and inhaled vaccines also incorporate these GM pathogens. And the Library of Science Institute of Health said, there is inadequate knowledge to define either the probability or unintended events or consequences of these genetically modified vaccines. There are potential risks involving the use of genetically modified viruses and genetically engineered virus vector vaccines, end of quote. So they really are saying to the public, we really don't know, but they do know because I just told you. And if I can find this research, so can your pediatrician, so can your doctor. So can anybody, really.
Well, you know, they often say that, you know, America, you know, our Constitution was an experiment. Well, it seems like the people are an experiment, too.
Well,
we're the guinea pigs, I guess, or the little meeses that they test all their... My question related to that is, what's the rest of the world doing?
Well, I mean, there are some countries that are banning certain things, but for the most part, you know, there's a global agenda to get as many vaccines at 95% effective administered rate. That's what they shoot for, especially for the flu vaccine. And the flu vaccine is a loaded pistol, really, basically from the research I've been reading. It's going to seed your body with all kinds of problems, and depending on your genetic code, you're going to come up with a disease in your weakest area. So I encourage people to, you know, empower themselves with strengthening their immune system, cleanse the body of these toxins, including residues from drugs, and also, you know, strengthen your body metabolically so you don't need a lot of this stuff.
Sounds like a plan, Wendy. Tell the listeners how they can start.
Sure. Give us a call and get a free catalog. The number is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. See you guys later.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned after these few short messages.
We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, that's over already. And you all heard me singing. Hey, welcome to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Let's go ahead and see what gold is doing right now. It was started out. I gave them prices in the beginning. And, let's see. Gold still $1,554.70, up 7. Silver $1,969. It was a very good year. Platinum was up $28 at $991, with palladium up 15 at $1,563. So a good day. It's been a great month. And Dave, do you think this is going to continue?
Yes, I sure do.
I do too. Not to say we can't have pullbacks, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, there will be pullbacks.
There will be pullbacks, yes.
But it's all in the context of an upward sloping arrow.
Yes.
And just how upward and just how steep, will depend on a number of factors that we talk about every day on this program.
We know there's a couple of other gold investors out there that agree with us. And again, I, just put it on record. I mean, we'll easily see 3,000 gold, easily. Easily see 5,000 gold, easy. I mean, those are, now what happens at that point in time is a little iffy. And, if I say 5,000, if we get to, 4,800, that's close enough. But, if we get to 6,000, let's wait and see what happens at 5,000. Same thing with silver. Let's get back to 50 and see what's going on in the market, what really pushed it up. Because these markets are so small. Paper trading can push these prices. And, then they take their profit, and then you can have these big swings to the downside. And I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's paper trading that's pushing these numbers higher that we've seen in the past month for gold and silver. So, but a couple of these other folks that agree with us, there's a Canadian billionaire investor, Frank Gistra. He says that gold is in the third and final phases of the gold market that started in 2001. He says this will be the most explosive phase for gold. He says the third phase started last year when central banks around the world, for all intents and purposes, stopped raising interest rates. He thinks that gold's going to blow through 1900 and go much higher. He says that the competitive currency devaluations and possibly currency wars after the Fed joins the foreign central banks in dropping interest rates to zero and then reinstates quantitative easing. He says if you are an investor, he thinks it would be reckless to not own gold. And here's the keywords, particularly physical gold. Now, if for no other reason than to have an insurance policy. And that's what I get, Dave. We say this all the time. It's just like physical gold is your insurance policy. Get insured.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Gistra observes that the paper market expansion in the U.S. over the past 10 years has only been fueled by massive amounts of free money. He believes that because people are now so overextended, and by people, I'm sure he includes in that the government and corporations, they're going to get hurt when the market crashes soon. He says that investors have been conditioned about these two things for many, many years. First, you buy on every major dip and correction in the market, which we hear, every within the mainstream media, especially after a 1, 2, 3, 5, 10% correction. And second, and more importantly, in today's context, I believe the Fed will always come to the rescue. Now, the Fed, I believe, will not be in the position to come to the rescue the next time around. Guster also reminds us that some bear markets, paper bear markets, last for a long time. He points out that the 1969 bear market, for example, lasted until 1982. I think, he says, I think we're long overdue for another extended paper bear market, perhaps after a correction of at least 30%. So
30% is going to be a drop in the bucket, because you're looking at, I think, 60, 70%.
Well, that's astounding and potentially devastating, if especially if you're not prepared.
And he says of at least, that's minimum 30%, ladies and gentlemen, minimum. There's also a David Rosenberg. He says he's a chief economist at Gluskin Sheff, and he talks about gold being 3,000. He points to a 30% of investable bonds trading at negative interest rates, with rates in the U.S. and other most industrialized countries falling further over the next year or two. And he also says the real interest rates go down, gold's going to continue to go up. And with gold going up, even as the dollar and most other major currencies hold steady or rising, this is a bona fide and real gold rally. He says, indeed, he wouldn't be surprised to see gold going to unprecedented highs before the current cycle ends, to as high as 3,000. And I do believe we'll go over 3,000. That's a given. I mean, heck, we went to 2,000 in 2008, and what we're going to experience is going to make 2008 a cakewalk. Walk in the park, however you want to say it. Good grief. People are in worse condition than we were back in 2008. Because they never came out of it either. The only way they came out of it was the same way the government came out of it. Debt. Oh. Anyway, so don't wait, ladies and gentlemen. And I know there's nothing, no one's fearing. You know, there's no panic, Dave. No one's concerned. The stock markets are going up. And let me remind you, let's take a look at Venezuela. Their stock markets were making record highs when people are eating in the streets. So it's not what the numbers on the stock market tell you. And any dividends that you're getting for whatever yield they're paying, The higher they pay, the higher the rate, the greater the risk. So unless you don't have that risk covered with insurance, be prepared.
Yeah, we're not saying, ladies and gentlemen, to panic. In fact, we're saying that because of the fear of eventual panic, the fear of, you know, remembering what kind of panic there's been in past major downturns, that you need to be prepared. And again, the insurance policy of owning gold and silver and other precious metals, that's one way to nearly guarantee that when the time comes, and the day like October 1987, when the market crashes big time, that you won't have to panic. Act now by using your, you know, common sense. And common sense tells us that, you know, with all these flashing signs of a recession, of an economic downturn, you know, of gold going up at the same time, the U.S. dollar and other currencies are holding steady. It's like, as Melody said, be prepared, ladies and gentlemen.
And there's one thing that these analysts are not talking about. They're really not talking to the gut of the problem, and which is our money, and it's the debt. They talk about it being the interest rates. And we all know that the bonds is in the bubble and so forth and whatnot. They talk about the real interest rates going down, but they really do know the issue. The real issue is because we have the fiat currency and we have the debt, and you have all this bad money being thrown after bad investments, and it's that's bankrupt. I can remember in the 90s, people made announcements that our government was bankrupt. Trafficant. And this country's bankrupt. And it is. And I just wanted to pull up before we move on, because I think next we're going to talk about that Hong Kong. And well, maybe we might see it change a little bit over there, but why they've had a great overnight in their investments. I went to the U.S. Mint to pull up the Silver Eagle totals for this month. I wanted to see, and you know, it's surprising that the prices are rising, but yet, you know, there truly isn't a whole lot of excitement in the numbers that I see. However, we have a big secondary market in both the American and gold, both in the American gold and silver eagles. And what's the secondary market? People close out their IRAs. You know, people sell back gold for whatever reasons and so forth. So there is a big secondary market out there. Few people are buying the 2019s or the current years with the mint, only because the premiums are so high versus the random dated ones. And I mean, you can see anywhere from a, you know, from Canadian maple leaves, you can see a $10 difference in premium for random dated Canadian maple leaves versus the 2019. With the American Gold Eagles, you're looking at a $20 difference. So when you're buying 100 of them at a time, yeah, that makes a little bit of a difference. Or 200, yeah, it makes a little bit of a difference. So, and everybody's looking for the least price. So just be careful out there when you're shopping. And but yeah, get it while you can. Get it before those premiums take off. And Hong Kong leader, Carrie Lam, she said today that she has withdrawn a contentious extradition bill that sparked these months of mass protections. This is a full withdrawal of the bill and is one of five demands that these protesters have been fighting for. I think this was the major demand.
Yes.
The proposed bill would have allowed people, of course, in Hong Kong to be extradited to mainland China. And despite Lam's suspension of the bill in June, protesters continued to rally. On Sunday, the city saw its most violent day since mass protests first broke out earlier this year. And she made this announcement today, Dave.
Yeah, she also called for, you know, dialogue rather than further violence. You know, other actions that she's calling for include direct dialogue with the community. Also a review of Hong Kong society's deep-seated problems and the appointment of two new members to the Independent Police Complaints Commission. That's a big concession to the protesters. As Melody had alluded, the Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong rallied more than 4% today after early reports were released that the extradition bill would soon be withdrawn. And it comes a day after Lam quelled rumors of Beijing's rejection to her resignation, which she denies was ever presented to them. Now, as many listeners know, Hong Kong was a British colony until 1997, when it became a special administrative region of China under the so-called one country, two systems framework that allows the territory a certain degree of legal and economic autonomy. There are rising concerns among the territory's citizens that their civil rights are being eroded under Beijing's rule.
Has anybody died through these demonstrations?
You know, it's one thing I haven't seen. I don't know the answer to that. I haven't seen any mention of deaths, which is a, you know, surprising. It's a great thing. It's surprising, however, given just the massive numbers of people, you know, that have been on the streets. But certainly there have been probably dozens of injuries. I mean, with police water cannons being shot, you know, directly at some of the protesters. I mean, that stuff is meant to hurt.
But But isn't this sort of a wonderful thing that the people were able to do these demonstrations and have and be rewarded? Because I think their demands were, I mean, it wasn't, you know, we, you know, want free this and free, you know what I mean? I mean, these demands. So they, let me just, you know, what the five demands were. These were made, what, back in July, I believe, Dave. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first one was to withdraw from the proposed bill that would allow the Hong Kong people to be extradited to mainland China. Retract any characterization of the movement as a riot. Drop all charges against anti-extradition protesters. Set up an independent committee to investigate the use of force by Hong Kong police and universal suffrage in elections for the city's chief executive officer and legislation by 2020.
I suspect that last one particular is going to remain a big question mark and presumably is going to involve some face-to-face negotiation between Lam, some of the protest movement leaders, and perhaps representatives of mainland China. Maybe not in the same room altogether, but that would be a tremendous victory in my mind.
Yeah.
Although, you know, any progress that, you know, has resulted in the withdrawal of the extradition bill and you know, naming these two people, independent people, to this task, police investigative task force. That's you're right. That's a big move. Now it'd be interesting to get the feedback of you know, the leaders of the protest, some of whom still remain behind bars.
So, you know, to me, this is it's amazing what you can accomplish, and we'll see how this really ends. You know, like what you said, if they're behind bars, who knows? We haven't heard of any deaths yet, but have you seen some of this coverage on Boris Johnson as when he suffered his major defeat yesterday?
Yes.
In his first parliamentary vote? They
get
nuts.
It's
you talk about entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it is all it seems like it's all theatrics.
It's like you know, Monty Python Live.
Yes. I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and visit or sign up for the newsletter and weekly blogs. I'm starting to sound like those British...
the members of Parliament.
Yes, I'm beginning to get me sound a little mishmash, yeah. But anyway, excuse me, sign up for our weekly newsletter and blog, and you'll enjoy it. Great prices here. And with that, we're going to finish buttoning up here about Boris Johnson and his... he certainly has a challenge, but he still says, hey, at the end of the month, well, we're out of here, whether we have a deal or not, Dave.
Well, we'll see, won't we? You know, the big deal now is, you know, if given yesterday's major defeat, you know, his party coalition no longer is intact. I mean, it's lost its plurality.
Well, he canned how many of them? So how does he expect to get that done?
21.
Yeah.
Well, I think he did that after, you know, after. The, yeah. But now, I mean, now the key is, you know, is there going to be this so-called snap election? You know, there are questions of, you know, whether, you know, that will do anything other than add even, you know, more uncertainty. But certainly the conservative and labor parties are, you know, splintered, and but here's the thing. Parliament's suspended now for 5 weeks. They've kicked out, or he's kicked out, you know, some of the rebel Tories for voting against him, and you know, now this no prisoner approach has led to just a complete erosion of trust, possibly worse than it was when Theresa May was struggling to hang on just a few months ago. You know, he needs the Labour Party's votes to reach the two-thirds threshold required for Parliament to call an election, determined not to walk into a trap, as, you know, the Labour Party believes it could be facing. You know, the party is refusing to back his call for an election until legislation ruling out a no-deal Brexit becomes the law of the land. And therein lied, you know, has lain the source, or one of the main sources of this strife for the last 3 years. Deal or no deal. Maybe we need Howie Mandel to come over here and, you know, put it on CNBC, and let's go live at.
What's really going to happen, though, if there's a no deal, and then Britain makes trade deals with the U.S. I guess that's good for us, depending on what they might be. But how is the rest of Europe going to react? Or maybe they just really don't care.
Well, I think the EU hierarchy will be irate. You're right. I mean, I suspect with all the turmoil in certain parts of Europe, and it's growing, that the everyday people could very well just throw their hands up and say, doesn't affect me. On the other hand, the UK is one of only two countries, we'll talk about this in a little bit, that trades with the US, our major trading partners, where we currently have a surplus, who we currently have a surplus with.
Well, let's go ahead and we want to talk a little bit about Florida, Hurricane Dorian, and that's part of our brevity is Golden Dave today, Dave. And but you know what's interesting? I had a client on Friday who made a fairly significant order. And I says, well, you know, and I have her funds. And I says, I'm not going to ship you until we know what the weather is doing in Florida. And I just got an email. She says she's like 30 miles south of Orlando. And she says it's sunny and beautiful. So thankfully, they were not hit. But I guess it's there's other places that were not quite so lucky. And still remains to be seen who's going to be lucky or not.
Yeah, I mean, Hurricane Dorian's pummeling Florida's northeast coast as we speak, tropical storm conditions, and now its center is being forecast to move near or over the Carolinas coast tomorrow through Friday morning. That's according to the National Hurricane Center. You can go to what's that website? Hurricanes.gov, you can to find the key messages and key update, key advisories they call them, that are on the site. For those of you who've been paying attention to this, you know that Dorian was downgraded to a Category 2 storm as the deadly hurricane, the devastating hurricane began to pull away from the Bahamas yesterday. But the combined wind surge and flood hazards are the same or even worse since the hurricane has become larger. Over 7,000 customers still without power in Florida because of Dorian. State of emergency declarations in effect, addition to Florida and South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, where mandatory evacuations have been taking place along the coast since last weekend already. In Florida, major airports and attractions the airport, the International Airport, Disney World, Universal Studios were closed yesterday. I got to believe they probably still closed today. Word from your from the client is certainly encouraging news. Yeah. In South Carolina, Charleston International Airport tweeted it would cease operations at 3 p.m. Today. That was about 2 hours ago, as long as the storm remains a threat. Now, back in the Bahamas, quickly, the death toll from Dorian has risen to 7 and is expected to increase further, Prime Minister Hubert Minnis said. Extensive flooding in Abaco Island, believed to have contaminated wells with salt water, creating an urgent need for clean water for its residents, many of whom had left the island. The International Red Cross said that 13,000 homes there may be severely damaged or destroyed in the island. Some of the photos coming out of there today were just horrific. USAID has deployed a disaster relief team to the Bahamas, supporting local search and rescue operations. Dorian became a hurricane on August 28th.
Seems like that was just so long ago.
I know. How about it? Scraping past Puerto Rico, and then it strengthened to a Cat 5 storm on landfall in the Bahamas, where it stalled for 24 hours. Finally began being downgraded as it began to pull away. It's now tied with the 1935 hurricane as the strongest Atlantic hurricane ever. And that, Melody, I'm afraid, is nothing to brag about. Although that does conclude this week's Brevity is Golden.
I also believe that hurricane, if I heard correctly, now unless they were wrong, but I did hear correctly, that hurricane in 1935 also happened on Labor Day weekend.
Oh, how about that?
Yes. Oof. So, 1929's coming, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's heading into the 2020s.
90-year anniversary.
But, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, about the how the trade deficits are bigger than ever with China. And a lot of our other countries, they continue to increase. We didn't go over the numbers, though. And but this deficit increased, as I mentioned, with most of our other major trade partners, too. And, you know, among the U.S.'s big 15 biggest trading partners, the trade balance has moved in the wrong direction in 10 of those countries between 2016 and 2018, while the aggregate trade deficit jumped from $500 billion to $628 billion. Dave?
Yeah, with China, the trade deficit's gotten worse by $381 billion over that time frame, Melody. With the EU, it's $115 billion worse. With Mexico, it's $79 billion. And with Germany, it's $67 billion. Now, the U.S. trade deficit has only gotten better with two of our major trading partners. As I mentioned earlier, one of them's the U.K., where we're $19 billion better off. And with Canada, we're about $3.5 billion better. U.S. trade deficit in the first 6 months of 2019 is even bigger than in the last 2 years. Some analysts are saying that the 2018 tax cuts are as much to blame for the increase in the trade deficit as anything else. They say more money in Americans' pockets leads to more consumption, often of Chinese-made goods. So unintended consequences, I guess. The tax cut helped boost the value of the dollar, which, as listeners know, makes imports to the U.S. relatively cheaper.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Taliban, an agreement with the U.S. They're supposed to be, you know, reaching a deal, at least in principle, to end America's longest war. And now the Taliban, they have defended their suicide bombing against an international compound in the Afghan capital. It killed at least 16 people and wounded 119, and almost all were local civilians.
Awful.
It is. The Taliban continues to kill Afghan civilians in attacks they say are meant for foreign invaders or for the Afghan government, apparently sacrificing the support of the people that they might wish to rule. A Taliban spokesperson said the attack was a response to alleged raids by the U.S. and Afghan forces on civilians across the country. While he acknowledged there should be less harm to civilians, he says they shouldn't live near such an important foreign compound. Shame on you.
Yeah, geez, it's really maddening, in my own humble opinion. I mean, questions are growing among some, not just in Kabul, where this latest suicide attack took place, but in Washington, about the dangers of trusting the Taliban to make peace, much less to keep it. You know, yesterday, several former U.S. ambassadors to Afghanistan warned in a joint statement that, quote, it's not clear whether peace is possible. You know, full U.S. troop withdrawal that moves too quickly and without requiring the Taliban to meet conditions like reducing violence, such as, you know, what we've just seen, could lead the militant group to avoid making compromises with other Afghans, especially after we leave. Civil war could follow, give Al-Qaeda and, you know, the local Islamic State affiliates space to grow. It's according to the ambassadors. All this could prove catastrophic for U.S. national security. Now, under the deal that Melody mentioned, 5,000 U.S. troops would withdraw from five bases in the country within 135 days. 30, that's what, 4.5 months of a final deal on ending 18 years of fighting almost. Between 13,000 and 14,000 troops are currently in the country. The Taliban want all 20,000 U.S. and NATO troops combined out of Afghanistan immediately. And we wonder why, there are questions of trust, Melody.
I wouldn't trust these guys, but I mean, it's like, that's not going to happen. I mean, we're not going to withdraw all our troops, but the thing of it is, I think we should, but you can argue that we shouldn't, because then they'll just get worse, and then, they'll spread and, so forth and whatnot. But to even think that there would be, people really, it's difficult to talk about these situations if you can't understand what motivates these and the tribal and they're fighting for forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I think you hit it right in the head. It is so hard to understand that living in almost medieval conditions and these constant myopic struggle power struggles among these tribes of Taliban and and just how they view women, for example, as subservient. It's
but you know what people don't understand, though, and this sounds terrible, but that is their culture.
I work all night, I work all day.
And, that's another topic when we come back the next time. It doesn't make it right, but it does help you to understand, I think. But
it suggests why it's going to be so difficult to overturn.
Exactly. And what I do know now is we're out of time, way out of time. You listen to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom with Dave Allen. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God.
Bye-bye.